Okay, so you're in law school, right? And like you started thinking about all these like legal duties, like who owes who, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's pretty obvious, right? But then you get these like kind of tricky situations. And I was thinking about this the other day, like if a doctor's treating someone with a contagious disease, are they like only responsible for that patient? Or what about other people who could get sick too? You know, like people they could foresee getting harmed.
Oh, totally. That's a really good point. Like, that gets right to the heart of tort law, right? Like, how far does a doctor or a healthcare provider's duty to care actually go?
Right.
And that's exactly what we're going to be looking at today. We're diving deep into this Pennsylvania Supreme Court case, and it's called Siebold v. Prison Health Services, Inc. And it was decided back in 2012, and it like perfectly illustrates the struggle courts have with figuring out if and when healthcare providers have a duty to anyone other than their direct patient.
Yeah, and the stuff you sent me about this case was so interesting because it really shows how complicated this issue is, especially when you throw in, you know, like public health concerns and like the whole prison environment. Like it's a whole other layer.
Yeah, for sure.
For those of you listening who are going to be lawyers one day, this case is such a good example of how these basic tort law ideas play out in the real world,
Yeah.
you know, with real consequences.
Absolutely. Like this case goes right to the core of what duty of care even means, and it shows like all the different things courts have to think about when they're deciding whether to make someone legally responsible for something.
Right.
So let's get into the specifics. So first, like who is Michelle Siebold and like what happened to her that made her sue?
Okay, so Michelle Siebold was a corrections officer, you know, working at a prison in Pennsylvania, the state correctional institution at Muncie. And this was back in January of 2005. And she says she got MRSA, you know, that's a staph infection that's resistant to antibiotics. And she claims she got it from contact with inmates who are infected during strip searches.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can imagine being in that kind of close contact.
Yeah, that's close. And so she's working directly with the inmates, right, as part of her job.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing. Her lawsuit wasn't against the prison itself. It was against Prison Health Services, Inc., or PHS. They were the ones providing the medical care to the inmates. They were contracted by the prison.
Got it.
So it's not about whether the prison, like, overall was safe enough. It's about what the healthcare company did or like didn't do in this case.
I see. So, what specifically did she say that PHS did wrong?
Well, her main argument was that they basically messed up in a bunch of ways that led to her getting MRSA. Like she said, the PHS medical staff kept misdiagnosing MRSA infections in the inmates. They were calling them spider bites or something. Yeah. So because of that, they weren't testing the inmates who had like, you know, skin problems that looked suspicious. So that failure to like diagnose and find the infection in the first place was a big part of her case.
Right, because if you don't catch a contagious infection like that, especially one that's serious, then it's going to impact more than just the one person who has it.
Exactly. And it didn't stop there. She also said that PHS didn't isolate the inmates who they knew had MRSA. So obviously that's going to make it spread more, right? But the biggest thing for Siebold's case was that PHS didn't warn the prison staff about the dangers of MRSA. And they didn't tell them, you know, how to protect themselves during those strip searches.
That's huge. So basically, they knew about the MRSA problem. They were in charge of the inmates' health care, but they didn't do enough to stop it from spreading, and they didn't warn the people who are most at risk, even though they weren't their direct patients.
Yeah, exactly. So the big question for the courts was, did PHS have a legal duty to warn someone like Siebold, a prison worker, not their patient, about the risk of getting MRSA?
Right, that's the big question. Does that duty of care that they have to their patients, does that also apply to a third party like her?
Exactly. So what happened when this first went to court?
Well, the trial court sided with PHS pretty quickly, actually.
Really?
Yeah, they said that a doctor's duty of care is mainly just to their patient. So since Siebold wasn't a patient of PHS, they said PHS didn't have any legal responsibility to her, and they dismissed the case.
So that first ruling shows you how important that direct patient relationship is, you know, when it comes to deciding who's legally responsible. But it didn't end there, right?
The case got appealed,
Okay.
and the Superior Court, which is like the middle level appeals court in Pennsylvania, they saw it differently.
Okay.
They reversed the trial court's decision,
mm.
and they focused on this idea of foreseeability. They said it was pretty obvious that a corrections officer, someone whose job involves being up close and personal with inmates, they said it was foreseeable that she could get infected if there was MRSA going around and they weren't taking precautions.
Okay.
So because of that, they said, yeah, a duty of care could apply to her.
So at that point, it looked like Siebold had a strong case.
Right.
But then it went to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and they ended up reversing that decision, siding with PHS.
Yeah, they did.
So let's get into why they made that decision. What were the main reasons they said PHS didn't owe a duty of care to Siebold?
Okay, so the majority opinion was written by Justice Saylor, and he put a lot of emphasis on the fact that there are limits to the physician-patient relationship.
Okay.
And the court was really hesitant to expand that duty too far beyond that direct relationship. They talked about how it could cause problems, you know, like violating patient privacy or putting way too much responsibility on healthcare providers, especially in places like prisons.
Yeah, that makes sense. If doctors and nurses had to worry all the time about being sued by anyone who might get sick, it would be really hard for them to do their jobs. And they might not want to treat patients the way they should because of privacy concerns.
Right, exactly. And then on top of that, the court went through this whole policy analysis using what are called the Althaus factors.
The Althaus factors.
Yeah, it's this framework that Pennsylvania courts use to figure out if they should create a new common law duty. Basically, they have to weigh different public policy concerns and decide what's more important.
Interesting. Oh, okay, so how do they apply those factors in Siebold's case?
Right. So the first factor is foreseeability of harm.
Yeah.
And they agreed that, yeah, it was foreseeable that prison staff could get MRSA if the inmates had it and they weren't doing enough to prevent it from spreading.
Uh-huh.
But the court made it clear that just because something bad could happen, that doesn't automatically mean someone has a legal duty to stop it from happening to everyone.
Oh, so even if it's likely someone could get hurt, that doesn't mean someone else is legally responsible for protecting them.
Exactly. The second factor is the social utility of imposing a duty. So here they had to balance, you know, is it more important to make healthcare providers warn third parties, or is it more important to protect how doctors and patients interact and to keep medical information confidential? And they decided that protecting the physician-patient relationship was more important, especially in a situation like this.
So they're really saying that that private relationship between a doctor and their patient
mm-hmm.
is like super important in the eyes of the law.
For sure. And then the third factor is consequences of imposing a duty. So the court was worried about what would happen if they made healthcare providers responsible for warning everyone in a prison who could get sick. They thought it would be a huge burden on the healthcare system and might even make it harder to care for the inmates properly.
So it sounds like they didn't want to create a rule that would make it harder for the healthcare system to function,
mm-hmm.
especially in a challenging environment like a prison.
Right. They were trying to find a balance so that they didn't end up creating more problems than they solved.
Makes sense.
Now, the court also talked about another case, DeMarco v. Lynch Holmes, which said that doctors have to warn their patients if they have a contagious disease that could harm their spouse.
Okay. I remember that case from torts.
Right. But the Supreme Court said this case was different because in DeMarco, the warning was part of the conversation between the doctor and their patient. It was to help the patient protect other people. But in Siebold, they were talking about a duty to directly warn a third party, someone who's not the patient.
Okay, so that's why the DeMarco case didn't apply here. It was all about who the warning was directed to.
Exactly. Now, it wasn't a unanimous decision. There was a dissenting opinion from Justice McCaffrey.
Okay, what did he think?
So he saw things totally differently. He said that in a place like a prison, where you have all these people living close together, stopping the spread of infections like MRSA should be more important than keeping things strictly within that doctor-patient bubble. He thought that protecting public health in this situation should be the top priority.
So it was like a clash between two important values, individual privacy versus keeping everyone safe.
Yeah, and Justice McCaffrey also criticized the majority for not thinking enough about what PHS had actually agreed to do. He said by taking on the job of providing health care to the inmates, they were basically promising to be careful and to prevent foreseeable harm. And he thought that promise should include protecting the prison staff, too, since they're in contact with the inmates all the time.
That's a good point. Like, if you're responsible for keeping a whole group of people healthy, shouldn't that responsibility extend to anyone who might be affected by their illnesses?
That was his argument. He thought PHS had a bigger responsibility than just treating individual inmates.
So what does all of this mean for law students and future lawyers? What are the big takeaways from this case?
Okay, so a couple of key things to remember. First, it shows how careful courts are about making new rules, especially when it comes to stuff like medicine, where there are already professional standards and policies in place. The court was really worried about the consequences of saying doctors have to warn all these third parties.
So, like, not messing with the doctor-patient relationship too much.
Right. Second, this case is a perfect example of how important those Alvarez factors are. It's not just about whether something bad was foreseeable. It's about weighing all these different values and thinking about what would happen in the real world if you made a new rule.
And it's also about that balance between individual rights and public safety.
Exactly. And the last takeaway is that the court basically said, if you want to make big changes to the law about healthcare providers' duties, then the legislature should be the one to do it.
So they were saying, if you think this duty should be expanded, go talk to your lawmakers, not us.
Yeah, basically.
So what's the overall significance of this Siebold decision? Like, how does it fit into the bigger picture?
Well, I think it shows that courts would rather let lawmakers handle these issues about public health and responsibility in institutions. They don't want to create new rules in areas that are already complex and could have big ripple effects.
Okay.
Especially when it involves something as important as the relationship between a doctor and their patient.
Now, even though Siebold was about a prison and MRSA, do you think these ideas could apply to other situations where you have a lot of people living in close quarters and there's an infectious disease? Like, what about nursing homes or detention centers?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't think we can just assume that the same rules would apply in every single case, but the general principles about how far a healthcare provider's duty goes and how important it is to protect the doctor-patient relationship, those could definitely come into play.
Okay.
But ultimately, each case is going to depend on its own specific facts and the laws of that state.
So to wrap up our deep dive into Siebold v. Prison Health Services, we saw that the big issue was figuring out whether healthcare providers have a duty to protect people who aren't their patients from getting a contagious disease. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, no, they don't, at least not in this situation. They put a lot of weight on the doctor-patient relationship, and they said, if you want to change the law about these kinds of duties, then the legislature should be the one to do it.
Yeah, that's a good summary. It captured the main point of the case and how the court reasoned through it.
So for our listeners, especially those of you who are going to be lawyers, I want to leave you with this question. In situations like prisons or other places where people live close together who should be responsible for preventing the spread of diseases, is it the healthcare providers, the institution itself, or should the government step in and make new laws? It's a tough question, and there's no easy answer.
That's true. There's a lot to consider.
And if you're interested in learning more about this kind of stuff, I definitely recommend checking out some more cases about duty of care and how courts balance privacy with public safety. There's a lot of fascinating stuff out there to explore.
Totally. There's always more to learn.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
See you next time.